Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Anna from Rum Book Pod, the podcast. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, so happy to have you here. Just tell us a little about yourself.
I'm Puerto Rican, born and raised, and an avid reader since I was 10 and discovered the Babysitter's Book Club books. And I've been reading romance for about 10 years. I am a librarian, so I've been reading lots of different things for many years, but right after grad school, I sort of fell into romance and first was a reader, then a reviewer, and now a podcaster.
I love it. So first of all, what part of Puerto Rico are you from?
I'm from Guaynabo, which is part of the San Juan metro area.
Yep, I'm from Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Though when I go back now, I have a place in Maunabo on the southeast side. So that's my heart right now. It's like, I want to be there. But yeah. I'll have to settle for my back deck till we can travel again.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking, I was planning to move back to where it's like, I miss home. I miss my family. It's like, it's one of those things. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. My sister and my mom are both in my town here in Western New York. Okay. So I can, you know, we make sofrito and we get together and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've been doing cooking classes with our mom on WhatsApp, like basically into their stuff that in Chicago, it's the area that I live is not, there's not a lot of land markets, so I have to seek them out. And because we're a stay at home order, it's a little harder. So I've been asking her to mail me like cubito de pollo, café.
You know? I used to, and my husband's a pastor, and we lived in Alberta, just north of Montana, for 5 years in the prairie. And I would ship myself cans of. And bags of beans, pink beans. I could not get pink beans. I could get plantains and I could get gandules because there was a large Sudanese population and they ate gandules too. So it's just weird. But I understand the diaspora life is hard.
It really is. And I too grew up reading Babysitter's Club, which is awesome. Yeah, it was like my first foray of English. It was like fourth or fifth grade where I had a teacher basically giving us like a reading challenge. And it's like, read as many books as you can. And I found the Babysitter's Club to be the way to go.
Well, for me, I was in a Spanish language school till third grade. When the spot opened up at the school I ended up in, and it was all English. And so I did like a summer intensive, and then here I'm 10 years old, been in education in Spanish my whole life, and suddenly, boom. Even though all my teacher was from Kansas, didn't speak any Spanish. And so I spent 30 weeks for like completely lost until somebody sent me the troll book order. And I remember looking, trope was like Scholastic before Scholastic book. And I ordered the Babysitter's Club. That was like the first book I read in English.
Oh my gosh. So that's amazing. Yeah, I think I got it from Toys R Us. Like it was one of those things where like they didn't sell them. You know, we didn't get the Scholastics, and I found them in Toys R Us, and I was like, I didn't get to read English for English class. My teacher was Cuban, but she didn't speak any Spanish to us. So she made it a point that we needed to speak English at all times. So that was like how I got introduced with it. And then I found out Sweet Valley High. So those were the books that I just got. And then I just went to the bookstores and they had them. And I was like, I just kept buying them and just, you know, reading them.
I think I had like 100 of them by the time, you know, they were all like, before I was completely done with them. I mean, I was probably like way too old to be reading them, but I was attached to them. So I'm actually really excited of the television series that's coming. That we'll see how I mean, like, it's interesting watching, as a school librarian, I see kids falling in love with the books as graphic novels now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got to hear in Martin at BookCon last year, and she was in the panel for the audiobooks, because Audible decided to just do them pretty much mm-hmm. do audiobooks for books. And I was like, really great, exciting moment. And she's like, you know, I didn't write the books. I just wrote the outlines. So I was like, it's still like, you wrote my comic. You know? 13 years were written by you.
Mm-hmm. Like, or at least scripted.
Yeah. Like, I learned English. This is how I learned English. I learned English through reading. It wasn't through, it was, yeah, some TV was watched, but it was mainly through reading.
So. Yeah. I mean, and so to this day, I still have some words where occasionally I'm like, well, did I make up that pronunciation? Or is that how it's actually said? I'm pretty sure I've only heard the, read this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love connecting with someone who has similar time. So, all right. So you host an inclusive romance podcast called Rom Book Pod. Tell us a little bit about this podcast.
Okay, so Rom Book Pod's a weekly podcast with a rotating cast of hosts. I host it with 5 other reviewers who are really awesome. Mika and Melinda host it one week a month, and then there's Danny, who mostly concentrates on Black romance, Sarah Jean, that concentrates on queer romance, and then there's me. And so we take turns every month talking about the same theme, but always, whether like I often interview authors, sometimes they have reader guests, and we take a trope or a theme and sort of explore it and then give dozens of recommendations of our favorite inclusive romance.
I love it. So how do you go about getting, you know, books, like trigger out the books that will fit your trope? You know, because you do give a lot of recommendations. So,
Well, I think romance readers read a lot, you know, like hundreds of books a year. So I've been reading romance for 10 years, and probably about half that time really concentrating on building my sort of inclusive romance catalog, you know? So there's lots of books to pull from. And so most times it's just books that we have personal experience with. And then we also try to pick interesting people to come on the show that I know are knowledgeable. So like I've had Ruby Lang, and I've had lots of other fantastic romance authors who are also knowledgeable. So like we're excited, we're building season 2, and there's already, you know, people we want to have, and we just had Beverly Jenkins do a special that we're going to be airing next month. So yeah, it's all about finding people who care about inclusive romance, because we read a lot, so we have lots of books to recommend.
Yeah, I love that. I can't wait to hear your inclusive romance recommendations. And congratulations on getting Beverly Jenkins.
That's amazing. She's amazing. All of us were on the call. You get to ask that question. You get to ask this other question. So we didn't overwhelm her. But we all wanted to talk to her.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. She's like a dream guest for me. So I'm excited. That's awesome.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to talk to her, do. She's the sweetest.
She is. I saw her panel for Juneteenth, and she was great at it. And I've been following her on Twitter, and she's amazing. So it's like, yeah. She's great. So.
Our producer, Sarah, is a huge, huge Jenkins fan. So she runs Jenkins July. This is going to be the second year. And it's all a month dedicated to reading and loving Beverly Jenkins books. And so she was the one who made the approach to Beverly, and now we're, you know, so we just are building our month around her, just because we think she's so important to the verse romance.
Yeah, she is. So amazing. So what do you hope your listeners to get from listening to your show?
Often when people talk about reading more inclusively, they say they struggle getting recommendations, or they don't know where to go find them, and we want to show them how many amazing books are out there by people of color, by queer people, and featuring just the diversity of life. And we want them to like realize how much fun this is, how many wonderful books they would be missing out if they don't take our recs and just walk away with lots of books to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I love your podcast because I get book recommendations. Like, you know, I think for romance reader, when I started, like, I started by accident. It wasn't something that I just thought I'd look for. And so I realized that for me, I needed to find, I would devour a book in a day, and then I'll be like lost and be like, where am I going to read next? So I found that BookTube podcastings were the best place for me to get recommendations. To identify books that I wanted to just devour. So authors, different places. And even now I'm in a place where, you know, I have a platform and I want to share that. And it's like, oh, where do I get recommendations? I just go to the different podcasts like yours, where I get recommendations of people that I want an interview with. So it's, right. Like, it's a great place. It's kind of like a self-promotion, but still, like, it's a great space to grow.
Well, I think you absolutely get from each other. Like, I mean, I know I follow a ton of other reviewers on Twitter, and sometimes they'll be reading somebody I haven't heard of, and I'm like, oh, tell me about them. Because I'm that's why we're here, to talk about books we love, right? Yep. And to learn about new books. So I love following other people who care about books, because I can't read everything. And I can't keep up with everybody's promo letters and all that kind of stuff. Well, somebody will remind me of that. That's coming out. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. So you mentioned you started reading romance about 10 years ago. What made you get started? How did you discover the genre?
Well, it's funny. Like, I feel like I was always a romance reader, but I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I was always reading for those relationships, and I would seek out books with positive or optimistic endings. But during college and even into grad school, I got sort of lost into lit fic land and was reading a lot of dystopian stuff that was ending tragically. And I just needed a break. After grad school, I was pretty burnt out and I wanted to read something that made me happy. And at the time, I was a big fan of Felicia Day. I loved her, like, video series and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things she would do on YouTube was a thing called Vaginal Fantasy Book Club. And there she would, like, get together with some friends and discuss a book that they were reading. And it was always, like, a genre book, but with some nice romantic element. So I ended up listening to them talk about Deanna Raiborn's Lady Grey Mysteries. They introduced me to Mel Jean Brooke's Iron Duke. And also my first Nalini Singh was on a recommendation from them. Mm. And so I was suddenly like, once I read Nalini Singh, Slave to Sensation, I was like, oh, okay, I must read the rest of them. And at that point, they were like 9 or 10. So I was borrowing them from my library. And then after that, I was like, well, I want more. And so that's where I went on Twitter, and I was like, started listening to the podcast from Smart Bitches Trashy Books, yep. And sort of getting more recommendations from them and following people on Twitter and following them who they were following. And I was just hungry for recommendations, because I was, you know, it wasn't like I walked into a bookstore and found a book. I got a recommendation and I'm like, give me more like this. Mm-hmm. And so I read a ton of historical romance, a lot of paranormal romance right there at the beginning. I discovered contemporary and stuff like that.
I love it. I love your journey. You just started from a place where it's like looking for recommendations and just thirsty about it, and just like, and just finding them, you know, discovering authors, discovering people, and discovering podcasts, like, to give you the different recommendations, because romance readers are voracious readers. They may read a book a couple of days or a day, a book a day. So, like, it's like the pain is real. And then you go to the bookstores and you do not find them, because some bookstores don't even have a romance section, which is horrible. So it's like looking for other ways to get the recommendations so you can buy, you can get the things. So,
yeah. I mean, like, I can't believe the people who navigate like Amazon or Barnes & Noble eBooks without somebody to recommend books to. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of books, and they can all sound the same, and quality varies. And so I really depend on finding other people who have similar tastes. Like, one half of the writing duo of Kit Roca is Brie, and Brie, she goes as Mostly Brie on Twitter. She and I really share a common love on some science fiction. So if she reads a science fiction book, I'm like, oh, let me try that one. I'm likely to like it. There's a woman named Lily from Georgia who loves unlikable heroines. I follow her. And so she gets really excited about some heroine who's just pissing everybody off. I'm like, I got to read that one. It becomes that sort of community of finding people who share your likes.
I love it. Yeah. I gotta play with Twitter a little bit further. I think I'm intimidated. I'm grateful like Women's Landia has a great Twitter threads and stuff. And mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm intimidated of joining the conversation and be like, okay, can I find which ones? Can I find, you know, recommendations? Like, it just feels like, I don't know, there's a lot of conversation happening. So
there's a lot of conversations happening, and sometimes they're really like rage inducing conversations. Yeah. But at the same time, there's also like, if you find the right people, you're able to sort of take a break sometimes from the news, from other stuff, get really good at muting certain things, and find the good conversations.
So now let's talk about romance tropes. What are some of your favorite tropes?
Okay, so it's funny, like as somebody who came into romance as an adult, and I just sort of fell into it. I had to sort of discover my favorite romance, my favorite tropes, and to understand the trope language, because some people just talk about this and that, and I was like, what are you saying? But for me, like my favorite trope is found family. I find it a lot in books where somebody's transplanted to a new place. Hello, I'm in the diaspora, right? I left my home and made now new connections and new friends. So I find that I really... books where somebody has found a new community, finds acceptance, finds some place to belong, is really important to me. So I love, as I had a podcast for them, Kit Roca's Beyond Books. It's queer found family. It's these bootleggers who are just trying to like make a buck and end up starting a revolution. And it's amazing how the book grows and the feminism in the book, and how you start from like these sort of gruff people to sort of really understanding with the importance of love and affection for each other. So that's my journey on the Beyond books. Another book I really love, an author who does this really well, is Rebecca Weatherspoon. Mm-hmm. She has many books with really great family. I most recently read her Zenny, and that one's about a woman who comes to her aunt's home to sort of take care of closing down the estate, and starts to know her aunt's found family in this upstate New York community, and discovers a lot about herself and other people. And it's just a lot of fun, super sexy, and really great romance hero. So yeah, found family is my jam. But I also have, like, I also love widower tropes, you know, so like new love after loss. I love seeing books where somebody is rebuilding their life and finding new love after a big loss. So Alicia Rae is one of my favorite authors. Alicia Rye. I always screw up her last name. My favorite book by her is Wrong to Need You. Mm-hmm. And that one is actually like Second Chance, which is another favorite trope. And Widow Finding Love Again. And it's, she had married his older brother and he had left town for 10 years and comes back and he's still in love with her. And they sort of have to get to know each other again and get over the missed opportunities and all that kind of stuff. And it's plus family drama and acts like crazy.
I love that book, by the way.
I love Sadia. Sadia's journey there of she's just this badass bisexual, great mom, and has this conflict with her family, trying to figure out what's the right place for her. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I mentioned that I love Second Chance. And again, I think it's part of that whole sort of bringing, one of the things where romance does well sometimes is sort of like reestablishing justice in the world or having wrongs righted. And I love second chances for sometimes, you know, people have misunderstandings and bad situations happen in their lives and they're torn apart. And so I love stories where people grow and change and find a new way to reconnect. So two books that I read this year that I really loved, one of them was K.J. Charles, The Gilded Cage. And that's in her In the Old Diamonds series. And it's the second book, but I read it out of order and totally fine reading it out of order. But it's a couple who had fallen in love as teenagers, and then they get separated, and they both think the other is sort of at fault for what happened. So they carry all these resentments into adulthood when they are thrown together. And she is now a detective and has to clear his name for this false murder. And that one also fits under New Love After Loss, because Susan in that story is her longtime lover Cora had just died. So there's also that kind of like, can I love again? Especially this guy who screwed up so many times, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just great. And I also read Ruby Lang's House Rules this year, which I also loved. The whole Uptown collection has a bunch of tropes I love, like fake relationship and rivals to lovers. But the House Rules, which is the last book in her novella set, is a couple that had been married. And the wife felt sort of suffocated and stuck and needs to leave and can't ask him to go. And so they break up. And now they're both sort of need a new place to stay. She's back in New York City. And they end up deciding to become roommates. And it gives them this opportunity to sort of reconnect and see why things went wrong and what they did love about each other. And it's so beautiful and so adult. Just love it.
I love it. Yeah, I'm always looking for a married couple, you know, second chance kind of like book. So I'm going to check this one out for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Ruby Lang just writes such neat characters, people who are just so, they feel like so human and so adult. That, I mean, I'm in my 40s, so I really appreciate a good adult hero, somebody who has lived, and her characters have lived.
So now let's talk about, what is your least favorite romance trope?
So I have two tropes that I try to avoid whenever possible, and that's secret babies and amnesia. Secret babies, there just better be a really good reason for that being a secret. And I mean, it's funny, I mean, lots of people have secret babies in their life, but it sort of, sometimes so much in romance, it's an intentional choice, and I'm never really comfortable with that. But the one person who has convinced me it's a doable trope is the great Beverly Jenkins. I was reading Destiny Surrender, and in that one, Billy is a sex worker in San Francisco who loves, has a really great relationship with this one guy that she always sees. And then he's like, well, I'm off to Mexico to find my wife. And off he goes, never learning that she's pregnant. And she doesn't want to burden him with that, doesn't want to like destroy his engagement, but somebody's coming after her. So she ends up, somebody wants to take her baby away from her. So she ends up going to seek sanctuary at his ranch and actually walks into the middle of his engagement party. And it is such a fierce heroine who just is going to do the right thing for her baby. And also, it's not going to make it easy for Drew because she's not there to fall in love with him or steal him from somebody. She's there to protect her baby. And it's just, oh, I love her. And the other one I hate mostly is amnesia stories, because there's often like an element of deception. Somebody is lying to somebody else. And one book I read recently that did it really well was Alyssa Cole's The AI Who Loved Me. And if you have an opportunity, listen to it, because the audio production, it was originally an Audible original, is amazing. It has great cast. of all these fantastic people, including Mindy Kaling. But it's basically, it's the story of a AI who's, you know, sort of basically learning to be human, and a person who has these big gaps in their memory. And as they start interacting, for a long time, they don't know these things about each other, and it causes all this miscommunications and funny moments. But eventually you figure out that there's a history between them, and it's just mind-blowing and amazing. And I'm like, okay, fine. Amnesia can work.
I feel you. Yeah, I really loved the production for The AI Who Loved Me. It was just like fantastic audiobook to listen. It wasn't that long. It was like 6 hours to 7 hours. So It was really good. It had like a, it had a couple of twists and turns. Like, it kept you on the edge.
It kept me on the edge, and it's great stuff. I think like the world building she just threw out in paragraphs. So I'm like, wait, come back to that. Yeah. I want to know more about what's happening in your crazy world.
Yeah, it was a good one. So that's a good recommendation. So, and you love paranormal romance. What have been some of your favorite books this year?
Okay, so, you know, Naledi Singh was one of my entry points into romance, and Alpha Knight has just come out, and it's, I think, the fourth book in her new, like, sequence of Side Changeling books, and it's pretty much her world. I mean, you can enter into those books with Silver Silence, which is the first of the second set, but honestly, I recommend all of them. But in Alpha Knight, you get this amazing story of consent. It features a hero who has been persistently sort of emotionally violated and mentally violated as a child. And you really see how important it is to respect somebody else's boundaries. So, like the first ever Slaves to Sensation, there's a lot of pushing boundaries, and looking back at it, you're like, wow, that's a little iffy. In Alpha Knight, you see how Nalini has grown and changed as an author, and you see this like incredible sexiness and beauty of partners who respect each other and who insist on the importance of boundaries, and I just loved it. Another book, a series that I've sort of fallen in love with is Charlie Adhara's Big Bad Wolf series. It's detective paranormal romance. It's basically, and it follows the same couple. The last book that came out was book 4, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. And it's a sort of oddball pairing. You got this big werewolf and sort of like small guy who has all these neuroses and anxieties, but they together solve crimes. And it's just really neat how their relationship has changed over the 3 books, how much communication they've gotten better at. And actually the setting of the last book is like they're going undercover at a couple's retreat. And it's just great of like the role of therapy, and because so much romance has like magic penis, magic vagina, like our problems are solved through sex. And this is a series is like, and communication's good. Communication's important. And one that I read that, I don't know how widely available it is. It was a little short that Kat Sebastian shared in her author letter. And it's called Redressed. And she writes historical romance for the most part. But she made a little paranormal romance story where the sister of one of the heroes from a lot of other books encounters a vengeful Selkie. And a Selkie is like a mythical being that goes out and... they can turn into seals, and there's all this myths about their fleeces being stolen and all that kind of stuff. And she's the one who goes out and rescues Selkies that have been kidnapped and makes sure that evil men who've taken their fleeces get killed and what's coming to them. And it's completely gory and brutal and fantastic. So if you need some evil men getting caught up while women celebrate together, I recommend it.
Awesome. So, Aina, where can we find you online?
Well, most of the time you'll find me on Twitter. I'm On Twitter, I'm Anako Key. And on Instagram, I'm Anako Key Reads. I also review for Love and Panels and sometimes on my own blog. So, yeah. And, of course, find me on Round Book Pod once a month talking about books along with my crew of fabulous co-hosts.
I love it. Thank you, Anna, for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed this.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.